Resources Committee to order. Today is Monday, February 9th, 2026, and the time is 3:30 p.m. Please turn off your cell phones. Committee members present today: Senator Rauscher, Senator Dunbar, Senator Kawasaki, Senator Myers, and myself, Chair Giesel. I am anticipating Senator Klayman and Vice Chair Wilikowski to join us shortly. We have a quorum to conduct business. We have one item on today's agenda. And welcome, Senator Klayman. We have one item on today's agenda, and that's Senate Bill 180. So, Senate Bill 180 is intended to clarify the Regulatory Commission of Alaska's authority to regulate the price of natural gas coming in from an LNG import facility. Welcome, Senator Wilikowski. We count on the RCA, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, to speak for the consumers, to regulate the price of products coming in through an LNG facility, the price of that utilities are charging for power, all kinds of role for the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. We have several projects that are moving very quickly, and it's important that we address the question in Senate Bill 180. So as an example, we have an oil pipeline that is being proposed coming from the North Slope down to South Central. The company Glenfarne is proposing to do this project, and they made a FERC filing, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, filing on February 5th, that was Thursday of last week. And in that filing, they proposed a timeline. And members have at their desk an expanded part of page 70 of that FERC filing. So if you go to page 70, you will see a blur of colors and lines and all this kind of stuff. But if you expand it over the columns 340 to 400, you will see this information. And it identifies an FID decision reached by February 1 of 2026. They sort of missed it. This was actually filed with the FERC on the 5th of February. Authorization to construct April 1, 2026. Early works operations commence April 15th, 2026, and so on. This will be posted on BASIS. The full report, the full FERC filing is there. But you can see that there are some very quick timelines here. All of this is moving very quickly. In addition to this project, we also have the idea of importing natural gas. Now, saying natural gas in South Central, of course, draws acute interest. We're very interested in getting natural gas there. We all agree that it's important. So two import facilities are being proposed, two different projects. And I'm hearing from consumers, are we going to pay for two projects? How in the world? Why are two projects going forward? That is an issue for the RCA to wrestle with, and I know that's before them in some filings. But that takes us to Senate Bill 180. 2 years ago, in House Bill 50, so going back in time, there was a phrase put into a section put into House Bill 50 that passed. It was on page 37, lines 27 to 28, and it says, a liquefied natural gas import facility under jurisdiction of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is exempt from this chapter. This chapter refers to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska's authority. This one sentence that was placed in House Bill 50 has caused confusion. So, to review what we had talked about last year, the first time we heard this bill, the RCA had some hearings at which different entities asserted that imported gas, because of this sentence, imported gas would not be under, the cost of it to consumers would not be under the control of the RCA. And in the packet that's on the website, and I believe you have in your packets here, are the minutes, or actually a decision from the RCA, as well as the minutes from that meeting, in which JL Properties asserted that RCA did not have jurisdiction over NSTAR's LNG project and the gas coming out of it. At the same time, Chugach asserted that, in fact, the RCA did have jurisdiction over it. GBEA also asserted that RCA had jurisdiction over it. So you see, there's confusion. The public, even the regulatory agent or the entities being regulated, demonstrated confusion. And so what the RCA wrote in their opinion, in their decision, it is a decision dated April 22nd, 2025. It's on page 31. Not only does this subsection's express language clearly bar our assumption of jurisdiction, but the legislative history underlying this enactment reinforces this conclusion. Therefore, if we were to assert LNG facility oversight, which this suggests, we would be disregarding the jurisdictional sideboards imposed on us by the legislation. We decline to do so. So you see, the RCA is saying, yeah, it does look like we don't have jurisdiction over the price of this gas, but we disagree. And so they further went on to say, case law cited by Chugach clearly shows we would maintain jurisdiction to review NSTAR's development costs, but only to the extent they're related to siting. So what they were calling out is, it is true, FERC has jurisdiction over infrastructure. They have jurisdiction over the facility itself, but not the gas coming out. So what Senate Bill 180 is intended to do is to clarify that the RCA has that regulatory authority. So the bill itself actually repeals that sentence that was placed in House Bill 50. So it's clarifying. It will not change anything about the FERC's regulatory authority over infrastructure construction. The pipeline itself, you see that Glenn Farn has submitted their document to the FERC exactly as they should. It's infrastructure. But that gas coming out of it, RCA will have the jurisdiction over the cost. So that's the intent of Senate Bill 180. It's a very simple bill. It's one sentence. It repeals that section. So online today, we have three people from the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. John Espendola is the chairperson of the Regulatory Commission. He is online. Steve DeVries is a commissioner on the RCA. And Julie Vogler is the utility master analyst of the RCA. Also online is Claire Knutson-Lotta. She is the utility engineer analyst with the Department of Community and Economic Development. So I know Mr. Espendola and Mr. DeVries are here to offer testimony, to speak to this bill. When they get past a note, it's hard to continue. Got to read and talk at the same time. So they're sharing one line, and I would just remind them as they speak if they would identify themselves, since they're going to be on audio. It does look like I see Mr. Espendola is unavailable, so I'll turn to Mr. DeVries. Mr. DeVries, Commissioner DeVries, can you hear us?
Chair, yes, I can hear you. This is Steve DeVries. I'm a commissioner with the RCA.
Great. Thank you so much for being here. And you had testimony related to Senate Bill 180.
Yes, I testified last year on SB 180 before this committee.
could you reiterate, we're hearing it, the bill again, it's been a year since, well, several months anyway, since we last heard it. If you could refresh members' minds on what you had said.
Yes, I can. Last year, we issued an order in a docket number U25004, order number 5, and you referred to that before in your opening comments. And that order was issued on April 22, 2025, and we addressed some jurisdictional issues that were raised in that docket concerning a cost arising from a liquefied natural gas import facility that was being proposed by ENSTAR at that particular time. In the jurisdictional briefing that was issued to us at that time, questions were raised concerning the exclusivity of FERC jurisdiction, where it attached, where it did not attach, what we, the RCA, had the authority to review, and what we did not have the authority to review. And through briefing, we issued that order, which outlined our jurisdiction as follows. Regarding the siting, operation, construction, expansion of an LNG facility, we noted on page 29 of that order, and I believe the committee has a copy of that order in its packet, that that jurisdiction is exclusively FERC's jurisdiction. We did note that there was a provision under the Natural Gas Act where a state commission such as the Regulatory Commission could request the ability to exert state jurisdiction. It's called the Henshaw Amendment, and that's discussed on page 30 of the order, where a state commission could request state oversight through its commission of that particular component of what is ordinarily exclusive for jurisdiction. But as we pointed out in that order applies only to interstate commerce. The LNG that's slated for importation, as we understand it, from any utility that's proposing to use or to import LNG to either facility that is currently being discussed, is coming from foreign commerce. The this exemption that would otherwise theoretically be an available option to a state commission would not be available to the regulatory commission where foreign commerce is implicated. We did point out also in the order that that parties had disputed the jurisdiction of the commission to review any gas costs that would arise to consumers from gas imported into an LNG facility, as well as a cost that would be proposed to be included in consumer rates arising from a terminal use facility that any utility might choose to contract with for LNG imports. That was raised, as Chair Diesel referenced earlier in our opening comments, by J&L Properties. We noted that FERC has spelled out in a number of decisions that that jurisdiction belongs to the commission, and we do not believe that that jurisdictional boundary has been changed or otherwise altered by virtue of the current provision that you're looking at right now, repealing 4205711V. But what that the existence of that provision does provide is ammunition should any party wish to appeal a decision that we might make asserting our ability to review gas supply costs and terminal use agreement costs to utilities and for inclusion in rates. And so it's for that reason, I believe, as the Chair Giesel commented and as our fiscal note points out, that elimination of this provision would help eliminate uncertainty of our jurisdiction over those types of costs that would ordinarily be included in consumer rates, understanding FERC jurisdictional decisions or decisional case law, and our understanding of it as we've articulated in Order 5, U25004, Order 5. But I do want to point out that notwithstanding our decision that we issued, we are not, as a commission, the final arbiter of our jurisdiction. That is the province of the courts. So to whatever extent we were to follow our decision from last year. Nonetheless, the courts would be the final arbiters of that particular question. So elimination of subsection B would just provide additional support for our claim, our determination that we made last year, that we continue to have jurisdiction to review those types of costs for inclusion and rates. I hope I've answered your question.
Thank you very much, Commissioner DeVries. You did answer my question. Are there other questions for Commissioner DeVries? Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Mr. DeVries, let me ask a couple of questions to make sure I'm understanding properly, and then I'll ask the question I'm actually trying to get to. So, first of all, if I'm understanding you correctly, basically the RCA does not have any control over the gas, regardless of source, whether it's a well in the inlet or a potential pipeline coming down from the slope or imports, until it gets to the point of sale to a utility such as NSTAR or Chugach. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Myers, I believe that's a fair statement, yes.
Okay. So it sounds to me like, at least when we're talking about imports, this bill would effectively move your jurisdictional start to earlier in the process. Is that right?
This bill would solidify what our current jurisdiction is and has remained. I don't think this bill will change our jurisdictional status. What it does do is it eliminates an argument that can be used to a court or to any reviewing entity that we somehow lack jurisdiction.
Okay. Along those lines, now that we've got both the import facility and the utility under RCA jurisdiction, does that, now that they're both under that umbrella, does that make it easier for whoever ends up building the export, or excuse me, whoever ends up building the import terminal to pass construction and or refurbishment costs onto the consumer through the utility?
Through the chair, Senator Myers, the RCA does not have jurisdiction over the LNG import facility. So to the extent that is a predicate or a foundation for the subsequent part of your question, I don't believe that jurisdiction attaches.
Senator Myers, before you move on, could I refer you to page 29 of the order, U25-0045, issued on April 22nd. So on page 29, it says in the middle of the page, line 10, analysis, jurisdiction. And the second sentence, while no party disputes that FERC has exclusive jurisdiction over, quote, sitings, construction, expansion, or operation of an LNG import facility used in either interstate or foreign commerce under the NGA, which I'm sorry, I don't know what that is, Rappa points out that Hinshaw is a vehicle for the commission to assume jurisdiction. So no one is disputing that FERC has the authority over that import facility, just like the gas pipeline from the North Slope.
Yes, Senator, Madam Chair.
Senator Myers, continue your questions.
Thank you. So, Mr. DeVries, just to clarify, I'm not talking about current law on what's under your jurisdiction. I'm talking if this bill passed, what would then be under your jurisdiction. My concern here is that if this bill passed, now that both the import facility and the utility would be under your jurisdiction, would that make it easier to then pass on the construction costs to the consumer and thereby in at least partially remove some incentive for whoever's the owner or the builder of the import facility, remove an incentive to control those construction costs? Is that accurate or not?
Through the chair, Senator Myers, I don't believe that's accurate because, again, I don't believe that this bill alters our jurisdiction. The jurisdiction to over the construction and how an LNG facility is to be constructed, what materials are used or how they go about it, would be subject exclusively to FERC jurisdiction. The only thing that the RCA has and would maintain, notwithstanding this bill passing and the elimination of that subsection, would be costs that would flow through to consumers, which would be theoretically, at least as I understand them, the cost of gas from a gas sales agreement and or a terminal use agreement cost that might be entered into by a utility that wants to use that facility to bring gas to its customers.
Senator Myers, again on page 29 in the footnote, line 25, it's footnote number 124. This is U.S. code. We are not preempting U.S. code. And if you read it, it talks about FERC's jurisdiction.
Yes.
Other questions?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm still trying to understand because the way I'm hearing Mr. DeVries talking, it's sounding some of the answers to the, that I'm getting from the my questions are it's a yes and a no, and so I'm still trying to untangle that a little bit. So, for example, he says, okay, they would not have any jurisdiction whether or not this bill passed. They would not have any jurisdiction over the construction. I get that, but they would have jurisdiction over the contract between who's importing the gas and then using it. But my concern then is that the now that they have jurisdiction over that contract, that then that makes it easier to use that contract to pass on costs to the consumer rather than the costs, you know, being simply a matter of use, simply a matter of who owns the facility. So I'm my apologies to you or to Mr. DeVries if I'm not getting that across clearly, but I'm worried effectively that by putting those two together, that it makes it easier for some of that cost to then flow over later on, even though you don't have direct control over the construction later on, as they are trying to recoup the investment that they used for the construction, if some of that would then be easier to be passed on to the consumer.
Commissioner DeVries, can you offer any help to Senator Myers on that?
Through the chair, Senator Myers, I will certainly try to help. And I understand let me see if I can try to reframe your question. Senator Myers, is it your question that you are concerned that costs that would be incurred in the construction and or development of an LNG import facility would be baked into a contract that we would then be asked to review and approve?
Mr. DeVries, that's approximately correct, yes.
And through the chair, Senator Rice, that's an excellent question. And I don't know, as I sit here, until I see or until we see a specific contract and we can inquire into the components of that contract, whether or not they would include something that would be considered non-jurisdictional. Now, since we do not control nor have any jurisdiction over the costs associated with the construction of an LNG import facility, nor its operation or development or expansion, and those are specifically subject to FERC jurisdiction, not our own, were we presented with those costs baked into such a contract, we would need to ascertain whether or not they were jurisdictional to FERC or not.
Commissioner DeVries, would you clarify for me? I'm looking again at Order U-25004. Was not the subject of this deliberation and your final order a question brought to you by NSTAR Utility? They are party to developing one of the import facilities. And my understanding was that NSTAR came to you wishing to recover some of those costs. And at the end of the day, I believe you denied them the ability to do that. Is that that is what this case was about, was it not?
Chair Giesel, that's partially correct. We denied the type of cost recovery that NSTAR sought, which was through a mechanism called a gas cost adjustment clause. What we told NSTAR in that order was they could seek to recover those costs, which were its development costs and also the development costs from the from Glenfarne, I believe it was, if the under certain circumstances. But the way that it would need to present that to us would be in a subsequent case where they were presented to us as a request to include it in rates. At that point, we would be reviewing the reasonableness of those costs and whether they were jurisdictional, in other words, whether they were within our jurisdiction to consider or not. So if they were FERC jurisdictional, they would be not within the boundaries for our review nor approval, but they would subsequently be reviewed in that context. So it was not a refusal to consider those costs at any time, but rather it was a decision that we made on how they had to be presented for our review at a later time.
Thank you. So, Senator Myers, I think you can see there that it had to, they would, RCA would evaluate whether those were justifiable to be recuperated by the utility.
Okay. I'll just have one more question, Mr. DeVries.
Yes, that'd be great.
I'll finish up. So, Mr. DeVries, if this bill had been in effect at the time of the order in question here, the U25004, would that partial denial have gone the other direction?
Through the chair, Senator Myers, I just want to make sure I understand your question because I was having a hard time hearing it. I apologize.
Oh.
Was your question whether the existence of this particular provision was in effect at the time that we issued the order?
No, Mr. DeVries. My question is, if this bill had passed at the time that this order was issued, if the exemption in statute was no longer there at the time that this case and the U25004 was issued, would the partial denial that you gave NSTAR have gone the other direction and it would not have been a denial?
Through the chair, Senator Myers, no. The decision would have been made regardless. That's my understanding.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? It looks like Senator Klayman.
I know we're talking, or a lot of the discussion is about two different potential import facilities, one, the old plant at Nikiski, and then a newer one that's projected to be near where the proposed pipeline is coming out. But are your answers the same for both of those potential import facilities?
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, the issue that was before us squarely in the order that you have before you pertained to costs associated with the Glenfarne facility, not the proposed harvest facility. So I, as much as I'd like to answer your question, I can't speak to what was not specifically before us at that particular point in time. There is a provision that I do note that it is in the order that talks about that particular competing facility. And that's found on page 33, footnote 135, where we spoke to our prudence of review of any decision that was made to select a particular LNG import facility option. And we noted, and I'll just quote it for you, it said, our prudence review of development costs under either scenario one or two, as well as a review of any gas supply or terminal use agreements, will likely include an assessment of whether a prudent utility manager should have considered or selected a competing LNG import facility option to meet NSTAR's gas supply needs, end quote.
Follow up, Senator Klayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just so that I say geographically oriented, tell me which of the two proposed import locations you're talking about when you reference the Glen Farne.
The Glen Farne facility is the Greenfield. It is not the reconstituted Nikiski plant that Marathon opened up to export gas to Japan back in the 60s.
Did that help, Senator Klayman?
It did help in one more question.
Follow up, Senator Klayman.
And then just again for clarity, when you exert jurisdiction, and you obviously didn't exert jurisdiction in order number five, but when you do exert jurisdiction, specifically, what are you exercising jurisdiction over? If that makes sense.
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, I believe I understand your question. What our jurisdiction would extend to would be costs that would be sought by calculated utility to include in consumer rates, which would normally be the cost of gas that would be presented in a gas supply agreement presented for our review and approval, or a terminal use agreement that would be used by a Cook Inlet utility for purposes of supplying that or making that gas supply available.
And just to
follow up, Senator Klayman.
So what you'd be exercising jurisdiction over would be whether or not NSTAR, in the rate that NSTAR charged consumers, could include certain costs.
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, that's correct. What we would be reviewing would be the cost. NSTAR, any utility, is free to enter into the contracts. Whether or not we allow those contracts or those costs to be included in rates is our jurisdiction to determine.
Thank you.
Thank you. And actually, that last statement, Commissioner DeVries, was very clear. And that's the whole purpose of SB 180. You also have in your packet the minutes from January 15th, 2025 meeting in which this was discussed. And on page 54 and 55, comments from Commissioner Pickett. He read, actually, the Section 49 that was in House Bill 50. And he said, when you have that sort of specific language, I think that it was a mistake to word it like that, that being the single sentence that the legislation had originally stated. He said, and he went on to say, and so I'm not advising that maybe somebody in Juneau needs to look at this, because sometimes when they relook at things, it gets worse. But I think you may be dealing with an entirely different commissioners by that time and some of the regulatory assets and so forth. But they were concerned about perhaps we'd make it worse. But this is simply saying, let's repeal this so the confusion doesn't exist. Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for you, but perhaps it's for the commissioner. There's a reference in the order to briefing by JNL Properties, and I don't have the briefing in front of me, but basically JNL Properties says that there is legislative intent that they have sort of divined that indicates that we did intend that we not have regulatory authority. Can someone speak to that? That is, what was it that someone in this building said that made folks believe that the RCA could not prevent a utility from putting unreasonable costs into the cost recovery and the rates? And I don't know if you've done that research, Madam Chair, or if Mr. DeVries, if that is clear, what was it they pointed to? What was the discussion at the legislature that seemed to cause this confusion?
Senator Dunbar, I did explore that. I hadn't noticed this until after the bill had passed. And so I went back and looked in minutes. There is no record of who put this in or why it was put in. It simply appeared in a committee substitute. It was near the end of session. It was very busy time. If I'm not mistaken, this was the um, this
the carbon
bill? I think it was the carbon. Yes, I think it was the carbon sequestration bill.
Yeah.
And so it just appeared, came out of a CS. There was no discussion.
Interesting.
It happened in Senate Finance. Further questions or discussion? Ms. Vogler, do you have any comments to contribute to the discussion?
I do not. Thank you, Commissioner DeVries. Excuse me, through the chair. I do not. Thank you. Commissioner DeVries has done a great job of covering all aspects.
Thank you. Ms. Knutson-Lada, you are with DCCD. Do you have any comments to add?
Chair, this is Claire Knutson-Lada. I'm actually also with the RCA. It appears there was maybe a issue with the record keeping, and I don't have anything to add.
Thank you for that correction. We'll make sure that the record clarifies that you are with the RCA, not DCCED. Thank you. Are there further questions for Commissioner DeVries? Yes, Senator Klayman.
With respect to this particular bill, does the RCA have a position for, against, or neutral on this legislation?
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, we take no position on the legislation.
Thank you.
Senator Myers.
Mr. DeVries, does the RCA tend to take position on any legislation?
Through the chair, Senator Myers, we're reluctant to do so.
Okay, thank you.
We have to read between the lines. They want it.
Just putting things in context, Madam Chair.
Sure. Senator Wilikowski.
I'll ask you a kind of a really eighth grade question, I guess. Will the consumers in South Central and all up and down the rail belt have their rates better safeguarded if this legislation passes?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, as I indicated before, if this legislation passes, it will remove an argument that can be raised that would tend to limit our ability to do or provide the kinds of protections that you are talking about. As I stated before, and as the order that you have in your packet reflects, we believe, consistent with FERC precedent, that we have the existing jurisdiction to review those agreements, gas supply and terminal use agreements already, and that this legislation does not prohibit that or limit it, but it will strengthen our arguments to the extent that we need to present them to a court regarding the limits and extent of our jurisdiction.
Follow up, Senator Wilikowski.
If for some reason the RCA did not have jurisdiction in this, in these types of cases, or over these issues, would the FERC safeguard ratepayers from unreasonable price rate hikes under their jurisdiction?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I don't know the answer to that.
Follow up, Senator Wilikowski.
I thought I heard last week in testimony that the FERC in gas contracts does not safeguard ratepayers from unreasonable costs. They just sort of give an up or down vote without looking at the impact to the consumer. Is that your understanding?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I heard that same testimony, I can't offer any observations on it without providing independent research concerning FERC jurisdiction. But since that is not the issue or the issues that typically arise before the RCA, I have not independently evaluated it.
Thank you. Senator Rauscher, your question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the chair. So I was wondering, if this bill doesn't happen, are there any other safeguards that the consumers have?
Through the chair, Senator Rauscher, if this bill doesn't pass, then the existing safeguards that I've articulated, I believe, already exist, including our ability to review the gas supply agreements and the terminal use agreements for inclusion in rates, and how they would be reviewed would be governed, at least as far as a gas supply agreement, would be governed by the provisions of AS 4205141D, It's an open question as to whether or not a terminal use agreement would be reviewed under the auspices of the same statute. That has never been adjudicated by the commission, and so I can't offer an opinion as to whether or not any terminal use agreement would also be reviewed under the context of that particular statute or not. In addition, the commission, maintains the ability to review the prudence of decision-making made by utilities in the context of, or in this type of a context. And I believe I quoted to you earlier a footnote in the order that you have before you that speaks to an example of a particular kind of prudence review.
Thank you.
Senator Wilikowski.
So what I hear you saying is you... You think you have jurisdiction already, but this just provides a level of clarity, a level of certainty. Is that fair to say? Maybe remove some of the potential ambiguity that exists out there.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, that is correct. And if you were to review the fiscal note that was submitted on this bill, I'm looking at the analysis provision. On the second page of our fiscal note, it says the repeal of AS 4205-711V would eliminate any uncertainty regarding the RCA's jurisdiction over the review of gas supply agreements or terminal use agreements for public utilities using the services of an LNG import facility. So again, it's the goal, as I understand it, from this legislation is to review that uncertainty, and as I've testified, that uncertainty would be to remove an argument that could be raised by a party or parties to our jurisdiction, which, as I indicated before, I believe that we maintain.
Further questions? So perhaps this could be regarded as a savings bill. We wouldn't have litigation based on RCA decisions. Vote against it to help the lawyers. I think you have a conflict of interest, Senator Clayman.
I'm joking.
Are there further questions for the commissioner or his staff? All right. Thank you. Commissioner DeVries, thank you very much for joining us today. Is there any further discussion or questions? All right, seeing none, this is the only item on our agenda today. So I'm going to set this bill aside for a future committee meeting. This concludes our meeting for today. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, February 11th at 3:30 p.m. On the agenda will be a presentation from the Alaska Railroad Corporation. President and CEO Bill O'Leary will be joining us. I have asked him to address the railroad's readiness for the gas pipeline project and also to address the question related to bonding opportunities by the railroad. So with that, we will stand adjourned. Let the record reflect the time is 4:12 p.m.